The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Chairman Gavin is here, garden designer, horticulturist par excellence, to introduce another marvellous garden to us. Where is this one?
It's in Kent. And it's Sissinghurst Castle. So it's about two and a half hours from London, past Tunbridge, Tunbridge Wells, down if you're on the road towards Dover.
And I'm sure you can get there by train very easily.
Very easy to get there by train or to drive from London. It's a remarkable garden, one of the most famous and influential in the world. And the garden is the story of the garden, what's there. It's run by the National Trust, but it's also the story of the people who created it.
Who created it?
Vita Sackville-West and Harold Nicholson. So they were husband and wife team. Vita was fueled by anger in a way because she came from an aristocratic family, an aristocratic British family. Her house, she was the only child of the Sackville-Wests. Her house was 4 acres in size. So the family home was 4 acres.
4 acres, the built part.
The built part on a 1,000-acre garden and parkland. And it was called Knoll. But she wasn't, because she was a woman, she wasn't allowed inherited. So this...
That's bizarre.
Absolutely bizarre, but it's funny.
She was the only child. I mean, if she was the eldest child and the younger brother got it, that might be understandable in the culture of the time, you know, a man to run the place, as it were, but
it went to her uncle, to her uncle, and those were the laws of the day. But it's very interesting, even in this country. Well, not really this country. There's this amazing garden called Helen Dillon, who has a remarkable garden in Sanford Road in Ranelagh. She was fueled by something similar because her brothers, she was Scottish aristocracy, and her brothers were important. She wasn't regarded as important. And indeed, when she got married at the Brompton Oratory, she talks about her mum whipping away the family tiara as soon as the ceremony was over. And she was fueled in terms of garden making by this desire of not being treated equally or being treated differently.
By the way, on Helen Dillon, she sold her wonderful garden and house in Ranelagh, moved to Monkstown. I think she's selling that now.
She created another wonderful garden by the coast. A delightful garden, almost overnight.
Okay, now back to Vita Sackville-West. Her private life and that of her husband would have been, shall we say, colourful.
It was colourful. Now, they were absolutely deeply in love, infatuated by each other, but they had an open marriage. Both of them had same-sex affairs. So that was different at the time, but maybe not so different in the type of circles that they moved in. He was a newspaper editor. He was also a former MP, originally with Osmond Mosley's party and then the Labour Party. And she was a writer and, as I say, of aristocratic background. They adored each other, but they had this open marriage. They adored each other and their creation, yes, children, but also this garden. And that creation lasts until today.
We could describe this as a cottage garden, but that would be to understate.
It's an estate in a way. So they built it. They found a place 25 minutes from Knoll. So she and a place, Sissinghurst, which had a relationship with the Knoll family. So she felt this was really hers. And when they found it, it was the remnants of kind of a medieval monastery and an old castle that had been there. The last remnants of the castle was this tower. The tower, which stands to this day, a brick-built tower, very, very tall. That gave an interesting perspective in any way. So these,
and you still climb up that tower?
You can still climb up the tower. And she would do a lot of her writings in the tower. But the most important thing about the tower was it gave them a view of the plot. So it allowed the husband, Harold Nicholson, to plan out. So he was in charge of the design. He was heavily influenced by Renaissance Italy. They had travelled an awful lot. He brought back this idea of symmetry and garden rooms. And she was delightful in terms of her use of flowers. So he would create these. He would design these garden rooms and she would plant up
these.
Now,
in case people think these are concrete structures or whatever, they're not. They're spaces.
They're spaces.
When you say garden rooms.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a space in which certain kinds of planting takes place.
Absolutely. So they were divided. So there's a rondel, which is, I think, a room created from a circle of yew and a lawn. And from that rondel, there are openings which lead you to various different garden rooms. The most famous of being the White Garden at Sissinghurst. Now, that has gone on to dominate many different styles of gardens, or influence many different gardens in Britain and around the world.
Now, it's not that everything's white. The blooms are white, but the foliage is green.
The
so
foliage
it's green
is green
and white, really.
So what she set out to do, and she wrote, it's funny, isn't it, in those days, the husbands and wives used to write to each other if you were of a certain class. So we can chart the origins of the idea. She said she wanted to plant, she had this idea of moonlit strolls, this romantic idea, and she was a romanticist, so wandering in the garden at night and seeing the blossoms lit up by the moon, by the full moon or whatever. So she planned on using green and white and grey, so silvery foliage. Okay. Originally, she was planning on adding some clumps of faded kind of pink flowers into it, but she cut them out and she created this white garden. And it is magnificent, and it says that to this day, it's the garden is now owned by the National Trust, and they keep it up and indeed are restoring it to the way that she planted it to
now,
this day.
The rose garden then, another room?
Rose garden was another room. Now, that's very interesting because she only used old roses, and old roses are before people use interbreed before hybrids or whatever.
Yeah.
So roses that were existing before 1867.
And roses that you could smell.
Oh, just full of scent. So a riot of colour, really quite formally laid out, but a riot of colour in terms of these old roses.
Now, there was an avenue, a lime avenue, was it?
So this is one thing that they disagreed on, and gardeners tend to have garden arguments. So Harold would generally design the garden, but not plant it, except for this lime avenue. So this was built on a diagonal, on an axis right the way through, and it leads through a series of these gardens right the way up onto the old moat. Now, she didn't like it. She liked the symmetry and the form, but one diagonal line really, really annoyed her.
Mm. Now, the garden itself today, it's open to the public.
It's open to the public. So it's interesting. Vita really did not want the National Trust to get their hands on this.
So how did they manage to get it?
Her sons, okay. I think it was about 1966, went into discussion with the National Trust. Because
one of the things you got to pay a lot of, in those days, super taxes to be paid on these big estates.
Absolutely. So many of the estates were passed. Actually, so many of these estates, grand houses, often with grand gardens, sometimes just grand gardens, sometimes pubs, sometimes bits of Ireland's coastline, because we have the Giant's Causeway up in Northern Ireland that was handed over to the National Trust. So they're a charitable trust that manage these and interpret the story of these. She didn't want it. She felt she had lost already her home, that 4-acre house in the role, and it was kind of over my dead body. So it became very controversial, but her two sons did pass it over to the trust on condition that they could live there. And indeed, the family still have rights to this day to live in at certain times of the garden.
I mean, it's the case in some of the grand houses that the family will have maybe 10 rooms out of 100. And the rest are open to the public.
That's right. And you're kind of living in a museum because you have tour guides and volunteering in gardens and houses is a big thing in the UK. So you always have people looking and you always have people with opinion. And to hear that opinion sometimes must be deeply
hurtful, I suppose. Now, there is a family connection to the planting and the maintenance of this wonderful garden.
There is, because the grandson is married to, so Adam Nicholson is married to the unbelievable, brilliant gardener called Sarah Raven, who's famous for her seed ranges and her cutting gardens. So they still have really quite strong input into the garden. And it's nice, isn't it, that link with family still continues to this day. So Sarah Raven is a brilliant gardener. I met her when she designed a garden when I I was gardening at the Chelsea Flower Show. Sir was there, absolutely wonderful, and I didn't realise the tradition into which she was embedded.
Now, some people would look at the cottage garden and say, this is a fiction. This is not really, you know, a tradition in England. Well, so is it or is it not?
No, they'd be quite right. And, you know, Sissinghurst in general is kind of rarefied. So Vita Sackville-West was her lover, was Virginia Woolf, member of the Bloomsbury set. So they were members of a rarefied English society with a certain take on romanticism and whatever, and the cottage garden. So there is a cottage garden, but it's very cultured and very perfect. There were cottage gardens. So if generally to the front of a cottage that a farmer might have, his wife might plant a garden with hollyhocks and bits of old roses and bits of fuchsia, just like in growing among the turnips. There'd be a pathway leading to the door, maybe meandering up to the door, but that would be just pressed mud creating
okay,
that.
So we have a formalised realisation of this, inspired by...
Exactly. You have people like Beatrice Potter, Gertrude Jekyll, who we've talked about previously, and Vita Sackville-West, who took this idea and made it perfect. And that idea then of this perfect cottage garden was sent to Ireland and all around the world. Actually, it was very funny. Before Instagram, it was promoted in a different type of social media, because cottage gardens... pictures of them were painted and put on boxes of chocolates.
My goodness.
And that's how it...
That's how it actually expanded evolved, all over the place. German, thank you very much for joining us. German Gavin, horticulturist, garden designer. Now, a reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to in the Newstalk app, powered by GoLad. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show. My thanks to our team, editor Emma Bradley, senior producer Claire Darmody, researchers Aaron Jordan, John Byrne and Kate Gunnell, broadcast assistant... was Anne-Marie Kane, and Cormac McDonough and Ken Doran on sound today. Up next,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.